The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to rising young singer-songwriter Aaliyah Hashemi. She's here in support of her band Zeta Wave's new EP, Over, and she'll perform two songs from it live. Stick around, because if Ed Sullivan could have booked Zeta Wave, he would have. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview, brought to you today by Amazon.com. When you visit MrMedia.com and click on any of the links to purchase books, music, movies, gift certificates, or anything else through our Amazon link, you support this free video podcast. Whenever you need something else from Amazon, please consider returning to MrMedia.com to order it. It doesn't cost you any extra, and we sure appreciate the support. And don't forget, MrMedia.com has more than 1,200 celebrity audio and video interviews archived on the site. That's hundreds upon hundreds of hours free entertainment. Subscribe for free on MrMedia.com, and you'll instantly get an email every time a new interview is posted. You can also watch and subscribe to the show on YouTube, Vimeo, Daily Motion, The Realm Network, and Frequency.com. And if you preferred to just listen, Mr. Media is also available for free on iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Blueberry, TuneIn, Blog Talk Radio, Podfeed.net, and Player FM. You can subscribe to any of those services and never miss another episode. Finally, you can interact with Mr. Media interviews on all kinds of social media, including Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and more. Friend or follow us, we'll friend or follow you back. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of rising young musicians who can't be sure if what's hot this week is retro goth, past imperfect no-wave synths, or country metal. In the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Honestly, when I heard today's guest leads a band named Zeta Wave, I was really hoping I'd like her music because I already liked the name. Was she a fan of 60s legend Wavy Gravy or the 1970s Miami radio station Zeta 4? Well, the good news is that Zeta Wave's music, singer-songwriter Aaliyah Hashemi calls it bedroom dance pop, and you'll notice she's in a bedroom, so we'll get to talk about that, she's just as cool and curious as the band's name. So I extended an invitation for her to join us and talk a little bit about herself and introduce us to her music. In a few minutes, she'll be performing two songs from her brand new EP, Over. Now, in an Iggy Azalea world, Aaliyah Hashemi actually sounds beautiful and mysterious all on its own. I figure Zeta Wave is just kind of a bonus on that. Now, on the other hand, she grew up in Seattle, as I understand it, before relocating to Los Angeles to pursue a music career. So who knows what sounds best to an ear in that town? I don't. Aaliyah Hashemi, welcome to Mr. Media.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I honestly don't know whether to start with you by asking about the band's name, Zeta Wave, or wanting more information about what bedroom dance pop is. So I thought I'd make it ladies' choice. What do you think we should talk about first?
Let's go with the bedroom dance pop. So why you felt like I classified it that way?
Well, I mean, my interpretation of that, and I guess it goes back to when I was a little younger, it sounds like, music to have sex to, horizontal bop. I mean, bedroom dance pop. It's like, and I listen to the music, and I think, yeah, I could listen to this stuff while I'm, in an intimate situation.
Whatever works. that wasn't the intention, but I think the thought of bedroom, why it was bedroom dance pop is because it's definitely got a real dancey beat to it with the electronic drums, but I feel like lyrically it's a little more intimate, hence probably the bedroom cozy intimate feel, because all of those lyrics are coming from personal experiences. Where I feel like a lot of like the big dance pop in today's big pop world may be a little more general and less specific as far as lyrics go.
Well, I think if you're going to call it bedroom dance pop, that's pretty intimate. At least to me, I don't know. Of course, course, I can recall being in college and being, you know, with someone and playing. I still can't believe I did this. Well, Woody Allen in the background. I don't know. I think I reached a point where my music collection was just not that broad. We didn't have the advantage of the internet. You know, we could pick any song.
Yeah,
you
had to work with what you got.
And I just put on Woody Allen telling jokes, which was kind of stupid because every so often I just started laughing with no explanation. So,
that's,
you know,
fun.
Yeah. Of course, I had hair then too. If anyone's trying to visualize that, or probably now I've probably burnt. Probably nobody wants to visualize that, and I completely get that. So, so it's not. I mean, I then when I saw that you're doing the interview from
a bedroom.
Literally. I mean,
well, yeah, why not? I'm being true to my genre. Here we go.
So you're going to try to tell me this is just a coincidence,
well,
right?
You know, a lot of songs are written right here too, so maybe that also ties into my genre. Why not? This is where they start, and this is where they develop and get put out into the world.
Really,
right,
hoping,
here in the bedroom.
Really hoping I'm going to change the subject about now, aren't you? Yes. So. So tell me, excuse me, tell me about the band's name, Zeta Wave. I mean, I joked a little bit about, I remember going to college in Miami, and Zeta 4 was a huge radio station there for at least 20 years. There was Wavy Gravy, and I'm sure that Zeta Wave has nothing to do with either, but, you know, you got to look for that, yeah, see?
The tell connection. Me. I've never heard of either of those, but
oh,
I'm
no,
also, I, was,
don't say
I
that.
Wasn't alive in the 60s,
oh,
sorry.
Oh my God,
I love the 60s, though, yeah. 60s music, but... mostly like the Beatles and Velvet Underground and that type of thing. But I wanted to have a band name, even though I'm the primary songwriter and singer. I wanted a band name because I feel like if you go by your name, your real name, you tend to get pegged as acoustic singer, songwritery girl, which is what I'm going to be doing today. But,
yes,
but I wanted to have something that didn't automatically make people think of, oh, that's a girl, singer-songwriter, probably acoustic, because I wanted something with more of a sound. But I know, I noticed a lot of people think Zeta is my name, like on my YouTube channel, so I don't know if I've gotten away from that, really.
Well, and I'll be honest with folks, we actually had to delay the start of the interview a few minutes because in communicating with your publicist, I thought that was... like a stage name for you, so I had to go back and rethink what I was going to say because I really thought that was the way you were being kind of marketed. So yeah, now and tell me about your actual name, Aaliyah Hashemi. It's a beautiful name. What are the origins of the name?
My dad is Persian, and so it's a Persian first and last name. Both names are very Persian.
Very much. What does Aaliyah mean?
Well, it means, are you ready for this? It means the most exalted one. That's one of the meanings. It also means princess, I think, in Swahili.
I also think, see, I was curious because I believe it also has Hebrew.
Yeah, it does.
Meanings as well.
Mm-hmm. I just learned that a few years ago, actually. I think Aaliyah is, it's like, isn't it, it has to do with a pilgrimage, I feel like.
I'm not sure about that. The way I always understood it, and I haven't been in a temple in a long time, at least 15, 20 years. But you would, like on a Friday night in a Jewish temple, you would be brought down for what they called an aliyah, which would be a recognition of something, maybe a birthday, a wedding anniversary, something like that. So,
oh, interesting.
Yeah, I think there was a rabbi we knew who had named his daughter that. So that's why I was kind of curious. So and you couldn't get much more different than Jewish and Persian roots, I guess, in many ways. So that was kind of interesting. Tell me, you grew up in Seattle. Did I get that right? And then you moved on to L.A.?
I actually grew up in a small town in central Washington called Wenatchee, like a really small country town where people grow apples. My dad grows apples. So I grew up in the country, and then I moved to Seattle for school. And started getting serious about my music there in Seattle when I realized I didn't want to do what I'd went to school for. And then I'd always wanted to move to L.A., and things just fell into place within 24 hours for me to come down to L.A. So I got rid of all my things except for what would fit in my car, and I drove down by myself to L.A.
Wow. Did you know anyone there?
I kind of knew one person that I'd known when I was like 12, but not really, no.
Sounds kind of risky.
Yeah, or exciting.
Well, Exciting for you, probably risky for your folks.
Yeah, they were worried.
Yeah,
I remember calling them. There was like silence. I party lined them, so we were all on the phone. And I told them, I was like, I'm moving to LA at the end of the month. And then there was like silence. But I'm fine. I've been here now for a few years and nothing bad's happened. So,
are you able to make a living as a musician? Are you having to do other things to kind of supplement?
Yeah, I make money from music, but right now I'm still supplementing it. I work at a meditation center, so it's a fun job.
That probably gives you some inspiration as well.
It does. It really does. And it's just a nice, I mean, I get paid to meditate, so it's pretty good, right?
I don't think it's as good as getting paid to sit here and talk to you, but sure. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, thank you.
And so when did the musical talent kind of first show itself?
Probably when I was really little. I remember getting a little piano when I was like 4 years old. I remember it in the middle of the living room. It was a little tiny red toy piano, and I loved it. And then there's pictures of me taking little plastic toys and turning them into a microphone and me like performing with these like fake glasses on. And then I played piano, and then I played the flute. And then one of my friends, when I was 16, he just bought an electric guitar. And I went over to his house, and I was like, that's it. I have to play electric guitar. So I saved up my money, and I bought one, and then just kept going from there.
When was the first time you actually performed for other people?
Probably at a piano recital, besides the pictures of me with my toy microphone and my parents. Probably a piano recital when I was 8.
And what about the singing part? When did you know you had a voice?
I think when I was when I was 12, I had slumber parties with my girlfriends. The four of us would have slumber parties, and we'd have singing contests, and we would sing like "Wind Beneath My Wings" songs from Sister Act. And then each of us would sing, and then we'd write our score down for the other person on a little piece of paper and put it in the middle of the pile, and then tally up the points. And I usually won, so maybe from there I knew maybe I could sing. So,
well, when you said "Wind Beneath My Wings," I'm afraid that all the guys went to another channel, but hopefully they'll come back.
I mean, we're singing. What's manly? Metallica.
There you go. Singing Enter Sandman or Jump from Van Halen or something.
Yeah, a lot of Journey.
There you go. Well, okay, now you're losing them again. We keep going from sappy to metal to sappy. I don't know. You gotta.
Maybe we'll just combine it. It'll be a new genre. Sappy metal.
All right. I'll allow that this time. So when you realized you had that interest in singing, did you pursue formal training? Or?
No, actually, I was in band, so that kept me from being in choir. But I remember always being like, God, I wish I was in choir. I don't know why, but I was just, my mom kind of put me in band, and I liked it a lot, and I liked playing the flute. But I always sang on my own in the car. When I got a guitar, I started writing more songs, so it went on from there. Just kept singing, and then I did formal lessons probably like 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Just kind of work on the basics and
yeah, technique, breathing, stuff like that.
Cool, very nice. Well, let's get to the really good stuff. The first song you're going to do for us is "Strange Heartbeat." Do you want to set that up for us in any way? Anything we should know?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is from a breakup. This might turn you guys away some more, I guess. bad breakup.
Or maybe they'll learn something from it.
Yeah. But just, you know, I had a really bad breakup, and after it ended, I was like, God, I was reflecting on it, writing songs, and then the longer I was out of that relationship, the more I realized how bad of a relationship it was, and I knew deep down, but I kept ignoring the warning signs and like the things you feel in your body or in your gut. It's just like, no, this isn't such a good thing for you to be in. But now I have this song.
There you go.
And that knowledge.
Well, folks, this is Aaliyah Hashemi singing "Strange Heartbeat" from her new EP, or the new Zeta Wave EP, Over.
You bought me a rose, I guess it counts for something.
It's really a beautiful song. I mean, it's just, you know, it's sad that it's about a breakup, but you know, I like the melody and the lyrics. It's just a really nice piece of work. Good job on that.
Plus,
as you were singing, I was thinking, you know, it'd make a great title for like an hour long drama on ABC.
Strange Heartbeat.
Yeah. Could you see?
Maybe. Yeah, and this will be the theme song for it.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, you need to go find Shonda Rhimes and get that song in her hands. I think she'd hear that and she'd go, "Oh, I got a TV show idea for that." That's what I'm thinking.
Is it like a health show, like a medical show?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't think that far out. I just thought it just sounded like an hour long drama on ABC. That's all
cool.
I got. So this is your first record, basically the EP.
Yeah.
How did it feel to sit down and record the songs and, you know, commit them to a more permanent place?
So good. Also a little bittersweet, I guess, because it was the first time that I was recording. Some of these songs are older because I've been writing for a while and I haven't had an opportunity until now to record. So some of the songs, you know, I'm kind of, they've been around for a while and I've been writing a lot this summer. So part of me is like really excited to get onto the new stuff, but I am really glad. And it's always, there's something really amazing too about taking something that comes from your head and turning it into this big final product. And also it was really cool too, 'cause I had a lot of good friends help me with this, like playing keys and helping me produce and record. Actually, everything was all done from my friends. And so it was really special to have something, my art, my music that's so dear to my heart, and also have my friends be a real part of it and turn it into a finished product. That's really sappy too, but
no. I get
it's
that.
True.
And you know what they say, you have your whole lifetime to record your first album, and then you know, if it becomes a hit, you have to do another one in like 12 months. So good luck with that.
That's fine. I'll take that challenge.
I had a feeling you would accept that. What are some of the bands that have influenced you that you kind of hear in your head? And you...
Well, I mean, it's always the Beatles, because that was the first time that like I heard music when I was 12, My mom got me the CD from Costco. I don't know why I knew to want that CD, but I saw it and I was like, Mom, could you get this anthology, the second anthology of the Beatles for me? And I don't know. I listened to that probably for like 4 years straight, pretty much. Listened to it all the time. I loved it. And like the Beatles. And then the other time in my young adult life when I had that experience with music was Tribe Called Quest, which may not seem like it because it's hip hop, 90s hip hop. But I love that feel of Tribe Called Quest. I feel like they've really perfected their craft and the pocket is so good. So, and then like Fiona Apple, love Fiona Apple. I've always loved her voice and the rawness of her music. Yeah, a lot of 60s stuff, like Velvet Underground.
But you don't know Wavy Gravy.
No, I know. Now, after this, though, you know what I'm going to be listening to.
Anything but Wavy Gravy, yes. Yes, I do know that. Sorry. And what about, you know, we've talked about the singing and the obviously you clearly can play the guitar. How did you learn to write songs, though, and write music? Where does that come from?
Well, my dad, I think, was always kind of, my dad's an orchardist, so he's always out on the orchard and the farm. He's a creative guy, though, and he would always, like, I don't know, just, like, make up songs and sing, and I've always just loved music, and I remember riding to school with my sister. My dad would give us a ride to school, and I would sing, we'd make up a song, and then I remember when I was in sixth grade and I just wanted to play the flute, I recorded a version set to the tune of the Addams Family theme song and my flute. I recorded my family a video voicemail message for the answering machine. So those are the real beginnings of my songs. But then, like, I mean, when I got a guitar and I was like, yeah, I really want to do this and write songs. I just kind of, you just got to start doing it, really. You just put it down on paper.
Wow, that's great.
Or a cardboard box. That was some of my first... on a like shoebox, so
there will one day be some collectible cardboard boxes with lyrics on them.
I can find it.
Collectors will be fighting over.
Those are always so cool. Like at the EMP, I went to the EMP for the first time, and Jimi Hendrix, "Angel," one of my favorite songs of his. They have his handwriting on, I think, on a napkin at a restaurant up at the EMP of those lyrics from "Angel." So cool to see that. Hey. Maybe I should start writing lyrics on obscure things just for that purpose.
You know, if you've got that many lyrics in your head, you might as well do that and then, you know, create a whole legend around those.
Well, right now they're like on an assortment of like 7 different notebooks. I'm addicted to notebooks. I just keep buying new notebooks and just writing lyrics in all of them. They're all throughout. So
you're just too organized. You're way too organized for your craft. You're going to have to be a little more eccentric and obscure, I think, to really make it. Yeah.
Got it. And
check out Wavy... No, forget about
Wavy Gravy.
Yeah. What I'm curious about, though, is why... So you've been writing your own songs. I understand that. But in L.A., I mean, there are songwriters lying in the gutter on every block. I mean, there's enough, you know, professional songs out there to write. What gave you the confidence to take this investment of an EP and the recording costs and all that and record your own songs over, you know, looking for, you know, songs by people who've been doing it their whole lives?
Well, of course. I mean, people are doing it their whole lives because they started with something like recording an EP. You know, you got to start somewhere. And like, it's not really... I don't think about them and what they're doing, what the professional songwriters do or doing, or like Beyonce. I'm like, well, I shouldn't do this because Beyonce gets, you know, to record like $1 million album. Wah, wah. Like, you can't think like that. And right. I mean, I just kept writing more and more songs. I'm like, God, I need to start recording. So, because I have all these new ideas and different direction I want to go in and for the future. So, you just have to do it. And I want it for me. And I want to have this recorded and like down the road, maybe I can show it to my kids or grandkids or whatever. So, and like, actually nowadays, it is so easy to record on your own. Home recording is so easy now that the cost has really gone down. And most people that I know don't necessarily go to a big studio to record anymore. So it's not as costly as a lot of people think it is.
Oh, hell. I got to go to the Jay Giles Band a few weeks ago, and they were right here in my living room. And we re-recorded. No, we didn't. I'm just making all that up. Never mind. So,
can we all use this for a Skype album with you? Mr. Media. There we go. It'll be my follow-up.
That's EP. It. It'll be the Mr. Media sessions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why not?
It'll be very big, I'm sure. That's probably a good time for me to say, you're going to do another song for us. Mm-hmm. This one is Over. This is the title song of the EP. Now, what is the story? God forbid this is about another breakup, but why do I have a feeling that it is?
I went through a lot of breakups in the past. Things are more settled now, but another breakup. So this is just same thing, like kind of just knowing when it's done, like kind of being in a relationship where you're just putting up, I don't know, everyone's had that relationship where they're putting up with more than they should. And then there's a point where you just have to cut ties and walk away. And so this is about knowing when it's over and when it's time to move on and be good to yourself.
All right, very good. Well, folks, this is Aaliyah Hashemi with the and her band is Zeta Wave. And this is the song Over from the EP Over, which is now available pretty much everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's great. And I listened very carefully to the lyrics, and I realized you're the first musician I've had on the show who's managed to take Yogi Berra and put him in a song. It's probably before your time, but do you know who Yogi Berra is?
Vaguely.
Okay. He was a catcher and then manager for the Yankees and also
for the Mets.
But he's very famous for his yogi-isms. And one of them was, when you come to the fork in the road, take it.
Oh, I did not know that.
So, you know, when you sing, there's a fork in the road, and I'm taking it, it's Yogi Berra all over again. Now
that's hilarious.
I've given you two characters you have to go look up, because it's going to come up. I guarantee you, Yogi Berra's name is going to come up over and over again with that song.
Cool.
Yeah, this is very cool.
Yeah, I was channeling him.
Could be. There's actually a Yogi Berra Museum in New Jersey. He's still alive. I think he's in his, like, 90s or something.
Wow.
But, that's very cool. And so, I mean, you didn't say that with any sense. You don't sing it with any sense of irony. But I think the people who are my age may may see some humor in that. So, I know it's not a happy song necessarily. But so I got to ask you, I had a minute to kind of look at the surroundings there. You're obviously sitting on a bed. There's no pillows on that bed. Do we need to start a fund? You know, please contribute
actually,
Aaliyah can have some pillows in her room?
I was trying to make it look less like a bedroom, so I was like, maybe we take off the pillows, but obviously you noticed that. No, I have pillows. I have four pillows.
Okay, all right. Well,
plenty.
Again, I got to say, you're sitting on
or if you want to, I'll give out my address if anyone wants to send me a pillow.
You probably won't.
Maybe some down or feather pillow.
The problem is that you'll get guys who want to deliver them in person. You don't want that. Maybe you do. I don't know. Maybe
we'll have a PO box. So
okay, all right. Well, if you want to give out a PO box, that's okay. You
can, someone send me a pillow.
You can do that. Yes, send her pillows, fellas. Go ahead.
Maybe a throw.
So these two songs that you sang on the show, "Strange Heartbeat" and "Over," they're both breakup songs. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking as we went into the song, are you learning anything from the success of Taylor Swift? I mean, you know, just lots and lots of boyfriends, lots and lots of breakups, lots and lots of big songs.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good model to go by. I mean, a lot of songs, it's either a love song or like a breakup song or heartbreak song, right? That's pretty much the main two categories. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, there's love songs too. Cliche on the album's more of a love song. So.
Well, I mean, Pharrell is one of the few people who's made any money from singing a happy song.
Happy, I love that song.
It's a great song. I mean, but it doesn't. Yeah. It's not really the norm, is it?
Not usually.
No. Not a lot of happy Nirvana songs, for example. You know?
No happy Nirvana songs.
No happy Nirvana songs. So before we let you go, and you've been very gracious with your time and letting us into your bedroom dance pop. I mean, bedroom. are you going to be playing anywhere in the months ahead so people can find you?
I'm playing on Halloween at Tex Restaurant in Echo Park in Los Angeles, and then I'm also playing just like a afternoon show at the Thirsty Crow, same place, Echo Park, Los Angeles. So, okay. And then hopefully and more shows in November and December. A lot of my band's on tour right now, so.
Oh. Well, do you want to mention the other people in the band? We didn't.
I have a great drummer, Briar CV, who also plays with Deluxe, which is another really cool band. And I found a guitar player, Lauren Stockman, who's on tour right now, and bass player Robbie Lattimore. They're all great. We're really lucky to have them and have found them.
Nice. Well, happy to give them some credit here too. So that's really nice. All right. Well, folks, listen. You can find Zeta Wave's debut album, featuring, obviously, Aaliyah Hashemi, at great online music stores everywhere, or you can order it right now at a great price on MrMedia.com. If you're watching on MrMedia.com right now, and you could be watching it any number of places, but right now, if you're on Mr. Media, you can look just below the video over there or over there. You'll see the cover of the album. You can click on it right now. You'll be able to download it or order it and have it sent to you, probably in about 30 minutes or less. You know, they Amazon sends it via drone, so you can get it really quick these days. What about, do you have a website where people can find out more about upcoming dates and such?
Yeah, ZetaWaveMusic.com is my website. And Twitter handle is also ZetaWaveMusic, so ZetaWave Music. And Facebook is Facebook.com/ZetaWave, without the music, so...
She also has a YouTube channel, she forgot to tell you.
Oh, that's right. And my YouTube channel, youtube.com/ZetaWaveMusic.
And her Instagram.
ZetaWaveMusic.
And I believe she has a SoundCloud account.
And SoundCloud, ZetaWave.
Just trying to help sell some music here.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And she has a Bandcamp account.
Uh-huh. ZetaWave Music. And iTunes. Zeta Wave.
iTunes, that's for suckers. I just want you to know I came prepared. I knew all this information.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We are here to serve and protect.
Thank you.
Aaliyah Hashemi, it was a pleasure to have you on the show, and to thank you so much for playing the music, and thanks for joining us, Mr. Media, today.
Thank you. It was really fun. Thanks.
Hi, this is Buzz Burbank in the Buzz Burbank Newsroom, preparing for you another Buzz Burbank News and Comment. Do you like good stories? Boy, I sure do. I turn over a lot of stones each day to make sure I don't miss the best ones. Sure, some make me angry, and some make me sad, and some make me laugh, and isn't that what makes us human? I'm proud of the fact that I pack more news into my 10 or 15 minutes a day than the evening news does in a half hour. It's a free podcast at BuzzBurbank.com, or you can subscribe free at iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or get it on any RSS device. It's like a newspaper for your head. It's Buzz Burbank News and Comment, another Realm Network presentation. Weekday mornings right here on the Realm Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to the George and Tony Entertainment Show. Prepare for awesome mediocrity.
We're the Cousin Oliver of the Realm Network. I'm George.
And I'm Tony.
And we're a weekly family-friendly podcast about pop culture.
From our point of view.
At RealmNetwork.com. The George and Tony Entertainment Show. From the Realm Network.
It's the Mark and Lowell Show.
Hi, this is Mark.
And this is Lowell. And if you're fans of Don and Mike, you may know who we are.
Our number one interns. You've met them on the show. They're the guys that ate all the junk, and they were outside with each other holding hands with a sign that said that they loved each other wearing the dunce caps.
What you may not know is that we started out as fans back in their WAVA days.
Hi, Don and Mike. It's Mark and Lowell.
Oh, yeah. Hey, these are two guys that we once actually called them our proteges, didn't we?
And now we have our own show, so we want you to give it a shot.
Just check us out at the Realm Network, realmnetwork.com, or you can go to markandlowell.com.
The Mark and Lowell Show.
Every Tuesday and Thursday evenings right here on the Realm Network, and catch the Poor Premium Show Friday nights. This is Adam and Acid to the Extreme.
So, I'm sorry, did you ever see the film Rubber?
I've seen Flubber.
I've heard of Rubber. Isn't that about like a tire or something? Like
it is. Dude, Adam, you gotta watch this movie. I'm serious.
Rubber?
It's so great. It's about a serial killer that is a tire. You know, kind of like Christine was a car. It's a tire.
And how much LSD was the director on when he...
I don't know. But it's great because what happens, without giving anything away, the tire just kind of rolls into place, very sinister, and there's the person in the background. This was a highly entertaining movie. And the greatest thing, and I'm going to paraphrase this, but there's a scene where the local sheriff has got all his deputies together. He's describing this tire, and one of the deputies goes... Is he black?
Right here on the Realm Network.